Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Genesis, chapter 49. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis, chapter 49, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning there, I'll read one other verse to you. James, chapter 1, verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, Genesis chapter 49, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." And I'll read one other verse to you. You need not turn there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 14, reads, "Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place just today. Lord, dozens of people walk in these aisles this morning, and many, many, many people being saved and folks being baptized, and how our hearts were stirred and reminded that we're to just let you have total control of all that we do. But Father, please be with our preacher tonight. Fill him with your power. We stand before you a needy people because of our sin. Holy Spirit of God, do the work that only you could do, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want to tell you the title of my sermon right away this evening. I call it Insecurity. Insecurity. And actually, it is the first of a two-part sermon. I'll preach the other half of it next Sunday night. Insecurity. I have to say that when I was growing up, some of the incidents of the early part of my life created a lot of insecurity in me. As a result of that, I was not real confident. Some of those incidents stole my confidence, made me hesitant, and made me feel like there were certain things that I could not do. And I'm not talking about a security that is a humanistic security, but God did indeed expect you and I to step out and to accomplish things, to achieve things, to conquer in life. But when I first started, and as I was growing up, I really had to work at this thing of my insecurities. There were so many things that I felt like I wanted to do, but I did not have the confidence to do. When it came to the classes that we had in school on speech, I would virtually tremble and be sick at my stomach at the thought of standing up in front of people and talking. Opportunities would come that would be available to me, but I would virtually cower and I would retract and I would pull back because of those insecurities. So I come to you this evening after having helped, I think, thousands and thousands of people through counseling and preaching and teaching. I come to you tonight with some observations about this subject of our insecurities. And I'm going to talk to you about it tonight, and then I'm going to talk to you about it next Sunday night. The Bible says here in Genesis chapter 49, verse number 4, it says, "As unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." This is Jacob on his deathbed predicting the future of his sons. This is one particular son, his son Reuben, and after making a few comments about Reuben, he says of him, he says, "You're as unstable as water, and thou shalt not excel." Let me tell you something, folks. If you're insecure, and if you're too insecure, thou shalt not excel. You won't get done what you're supposed to get done because of those insecurities. If insecurity has robbed so much confidence from you that you don't get something done and you don't launch out, then you're going to hurt yourself. James chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." He's not stable. There's an insecurity about him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 14, it says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Here the Bible says there are those that are unstable. There are unstable souls. And it actually even goes on to tell us that there are some who specialize in beguiling unstable people or insecure people. Beguiling means taking advantage of. It's almost seizing upon their weaknesses. Now, the human race is frail. I don't know about you, but from what I can tell, I have my frailties, and I think you have your frailties. God, through the Bible, is constantly attempting to stabilize us and bring security in our life. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What's God doing? He's saying, be strong and of good courage. He's trying to bring stability to the life. He's trying to bring security to the life. Over and over again, we see those words, be strong and of good courage. Those words are used in Numbers 13:20. Be strong and of good courage. They're used in Deuteronomy 31:7 and Deuteronomy 31:23. Used in Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. Those words are used in Joshua 1:9 and 1:18 and 10:25. Those words, be strong and of good courage, are found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 20. God wants us to be strong. And God wants us to be of good courage. And God wants us to be stable. And God wants us to be secure. God wants us secure, not proud, but secure. God wants us stable, not arrogant, but stable. You know, many problems in churches are caused by the behavior of insecure people. God wants you secure. God wants you secure in your salvation. He says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know you're saved. Folks, you have nothing to be ashamed of. If somebody asks you if you're saved, tell them yes. Yes, you don't have to hem all around. You don't have to apologize about it. You don't have to be afraid of it. God said you can know, so guess what? You can know. You can know. God wants you secure in your salvation. He doesn't want you doubting it. He doesn't want you as unstable as water. He doesn't want you to be an unstable soul. Because if you're unstable, if you're insecure, the Bible says that of Reuben, Jacob said that if you're like that, then you will not excel like you're supposed to excel. God wants us to be stable. I deal with people. I deal with lots of people. In my opinion, there are probably more insecure people today than ever before in the history of at least our country. Inside the church, there are unstable people and insecure people, but my goodness, out in the world, boy, are they ever insecure. Are they ever unstable and unpredictable? We've had, and I've been the pastor here for a little over 6 years, about 6.5 years, I've had very few major problems with people in the church. But I can tell you this, when I do have a major problem, it's usually someone's insecurities. Usually, it's insecurity. I'm going to give you some observations about insecurity. I'm going to give you some things that I've learned about me. I'm going to give you some things that I've learned about people. It'll help us. Everybody struggles with this some. I'll tell you something that I do. I will drive home after every church service. Mrs. Owens and I will get in the car. We'll start driving home, and I can always figure out a way to ask her how the service went in the evening. Say, what's happening? I think I'm needing her to say to me, you did okay. You did okay. You didn't embarrass yourself. You didn't lay an egg. You didn't bomb tonight. Now, I get concerned about it. I get concerned about it. And I've got that insecurity. I'll tell you something. Brother Tom Williamson, every once in a while, where are you at? There's Brother Williamson. Every once in a while, I'll get up and I'll preach and I'll get a little tough and get a little mean and I feel a little lonely after I have done so because I've kind of stepped on everybody's toes. And Brother Williamson is always so aware of that. I'll be walking back to my office. He almost every time that happens, he stops me and he says, preacher, I just want you to know, You did a great job tonight, and I know it's a little lonely right now, but we're with you, and we love you. And you know something, Brother Williamson, thank you. That brings security to me. Because I've got this tendency to get a bit insecure, just like you do. Some, though, are in a constant struggle with this thing of insecurity. Now, I hope tonight that the highly insecure will appreciate someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth and to help you. Now, tonight, I beg of you to muster enough security to accept the teaching as sincere and helpful rather than taking offense to it. You see, let me tell you something. I'm a little insecure about teaching you about insecurity. You say, why? Because it's risky to try to teach and help unstable people because they're unstable. There's no way to know how they're going to respond. They may love you for it and they may hate you for it. Because they're insecure, you can't figure out how they're going to be. They may run to you because of it, or they may run from you because you try to help them. The insecure may defend you, or they may attack you when you try to help their insecurities. Why? Well, they're a little unpredictable. They're unstable. And so it's a bit of an insecure thing to be teaching on insecurity because you just have no idea how the insecure are going to behave. Doesn't that sound kind of crazy? But it's true. It's true. Let me give you some observations that will help all of us. Me, it'll help you with our insecurities. Number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God's leadership. If we're insecure, we're going to have a hard time trusting God and His leadership. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart, it says here. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, insecurity causes a lack of faith, or a lack of faith causes insecurity. I'm not sure which comes first, but faith in God and His leadership is always lacking among the insecure.
Right.
See, people that just believing God would save us and keep us safe to some people is almost impossible for them to grasp. There's some people, the doctrine of the security of the believer, they're always struggling with it. They may not even tell anybody, but they're always struggling with, am I saved, am I saved, am I saved, am I saved, am I saved? Well, I'll guarantee you one thing, if God did His part, you're saved. But we have a lack of faith in God, and we struggle trusting God with your life. Some, to the insecure, that's a little overwhelming to you. Trusting God with all my life? Watch out now. We will delay obedience to God because we just don't trust Him. Now, we don't admit that. But we delay obedience because we don't trust Him to make decisions with our life. Why? We're insecure. We're insecure. Folks, God's not going to drop you. God's not going to let you down. God's not going to let me down. You say you live by faith, but you always have your own plan and your own answer within reach because you trust yourself more than you trust anybody else. How am I faith? Kinda. To a point. Because you don't even really even trust yourself. Insecure or unstable people have got to learn to trust God. Did you say, Brother Owens, I struggle with insecurity. You've got to learn to trust God. You just got to learn to obey Him. If the Bible says it, do it. You say, I'm scared. Okay. But God's not going to drop you. God's not going to betray you. God's not going to let you down. You can count on Him. And you're never going to get over those insecurities until you learn to trust the one that will never let you down. So, I say number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God and God's leadership. Number two, insecurity causes us to struggle in trusting human leadership. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, let me read that verse to you again. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to us, speaking to the people of Corinth. And he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, that's in the Bible. God told Paul to put that in there. Paul was saying, you are to follow me. Wow. Wow. Some hyper-spiritual people develop the attitude, I follow nobody but Christ. Well, when your kids act that way toward you, you're not going to like it. You're hiding from something. Did you know that following leadership is a basic concept taught in the Bible? It's all the way through the Bible. Following leadership is all the way through the Bible. God teaches us that we are to follow other human leaders. You get that? You can't miss that. You start in Genesis, go all the way through the book of Revelation. It's in there. Many times, here's what happens. If a human leader has let us down or disappointed us in the past, somehow we write off human leadership forever. That person disappointed me, or that person hurt me, therefore, I will never trust another human leader. Now, let me tell you something. You know what God expects you to do? To rebuild your trust. God did not expect you to spend the rest of your life saying, well, I'll never trust another pastor, or I'll never trust another leader, I'll never trust another man. I cannot tell you how many women I know who their first husband hurt them. They will never be the same. They will never be what they could have been, because they will take that hurt and the devil will squeeze it for everything that it's worth. That woman will never again truly trust a man, never again let a man lead them. Why? They are just so devastated. You weren't supposed to stay devastated. You're supposed to rebuild your trust. You're insecure, and you will not excel in life. You won't. I've watched it over and over again. Insecurity causes us to struggle with human leadership. Our trust, listen folks, our trust in human leadership does not take the place of our trust in God. It is added to it. It's added to it. When I get around folks that have overwhelming insecurities, let me tell you something. They don't trust their boss. They don't trust their wife. They don't trust their husband. They don't trust their pastor. Their trust mechanism's damaged. And don't be offended, Brother Bajan, if you come across one and you say, well, they don't trust me. They don't trust anybody. It's not you. It's not you. It's them. They don't trust. And you say, how do you know that? Well, you're looking at one that struggles with it. I told you earlier, I had to work at this. I had watched leaders disappoint me. I had watched things happen. I retracted it. I had a hard time trusting leadership. And I had a hard time trusting some very fine leadership. But you know what? Wasn't that leadership? It was me. Insecurity causes us to struggle with trusting human leadership. We don't trust God and His leadership, and then we find ourselves not trusting God's leadership representatives in our lives. So that's what insecurity does to us, that instability. And here's what will happen. I promise you, if you won't trust God, you won't excel in life. God said, Jacob said of Reuben, he said, because you are unstable, you're insecure, you will not excel. Now, when we won't trust God, we won't excel. When we can't figure out a way to factor in some human leadership in our life, to trust and to get some guidance and to learn and to submit to, you won't excel. I did not start excelling in my Christian life until I started trusting God and trusting human leaders. That's just all there is to it. Every young person in here, you will not excel if you won't trust your mom and dad. If you won't obey mom and dad and trust their leadership, you're not going to excel. Let me say number three. Insecurity causes us to see the negative first in life. Now listen, I help a lot of people. There are people in here. I have counseled you about insecurities. We've talked about them. You've come to me and you said, preacher, I need help. I have certain insecurities in my life, and I have these fears, and it's holding me back. Listen, I want to help you. And I've helped so many people with this subject that if you listen to me, I can help you. But I promise you, if you struggle continuously with insecurity, you then are apt to see the negative first in matters of life. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Here, it is said that there are many that say, where's there any good at? Where are we going to find any good? Do you see the bad before you see the good of that occurs around you? Do you naturally look at the negative first? Is that the result of your insecure nature? Is the cup half empty with you instead of half full with you? Do you notice first what you don't have in life rather than noticing all the wonderful things you do have in life? Insecure people, and this is something I see. Now, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. If you insecure people are going, oh, I can't take it, just calm down. I love you. I'm trying to help you. This isn't a sermon where I'm trying to attack you. I'm a doctor, and I'm trying to give you some antibiotics, and I'm trying to help you so you can fix that thing, because I want you to excel in life. I want you to excel as a mother, and excel as a father, and excel as a leader. That insecurity is going to cause you, if it's overwhelming, if it's big in your life, you're apt to see the negative before you see the positive. You see, we're quick to see what's wrong instead of seeing what's right. We dwell on the negative. Insecure people tend to dwell on the negative. The negative's there, but they dwell on it. They keep repeating it to themselves. It's there. 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 I gotta run. I gotta run. Where am I gonna go? Where am I gonna go? Well, probably from one mess into another mess where you're gonna say, oh no, there's another negative. I see it. It's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. That's how they begin to behave. They dwell on the negative. Usually they're not hope builders, but they're hope breakers. Most insecure people don't give a whole lot of hope to the people around them. They take hope from them. Confident people look for the good and seek the good, then they on purpose deal with the bad, but they dwell on the positive. Insecure people see the negative and dwell on it. Confident people see the good and dwell on it. You say, well, I know somebody that seems to be spiritually confident. All they're doing is looking at the good instead of the bad, and they're building on the good instead of the bad. We all have negative, folks. Every one of us. You know, I doubt that I face much more than you face. I just have to choose how I'm going to behave about it. Let me ask y'all a question. Those of you that earn an income, do you know where I get my income? I have to talk you into giving it. You have to donate it. Every bit of it. Or I don't get paid. It's not like I have a union to protect me. I get up and throw a fit and get in your face. Then expect you to give money to pay me to do it. Let me ask you a question. Do you sense that I'm insecure about the economy? I'm facing the same economy you're facing. Now, if I want to dwell on it, and 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 think about the negative, I can run that thing, right? I can run it so deep into myself, I have myself freaked out, panicked, and a mess. But I'm going to dwell on the positive, and dwell on the... I'll deal with the negative when it comes, but I don't live there. You say, well, you're confident, you're secure, facing the same economy you're facing. My body's just like your body. It's growing old. Well, not all of you are growing old, but a bunch of you are. Earlier, I was showing those keys that Mrs. Cork had misplaced, and I was showing them. I said, but the major, what kind of key is that? He came over, got real close to me, and he was adjusting his eyes. And I'm thinking, I don't need you, major. I can do that for myself. I was hoping to get somebody that could see. If you're not careful, you will dwell on the negatives. You're going to have yourself insecure. We're all facing most of the same thing. You see, my mom's going to pass away someday. Everybody's mom's going to pass away someday. I mean, stop and think, folks. Some have decided that they will live a secure life in Christ Jesus. Others have decided to let the negatives of life overwhelm them, and they look at the negative before the positive, and they dwell on the negative. Others decide, I've got to be confident. I've got to keep on going. Hey, those that dwell on the negative are not your achievers. They are not your achievers. They don't excel. And so, I say to you, number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God and His leadership. And then secondly, insecurity causes us to struggle with trusting human leadership. And then thirdly, I notice that insecurity causes us to see the negative first and then to dwell on it. Number four, leaders. Insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout when threatened. Insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout when they feel threatened. Psalm chapter 25, verse number 5 says this, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now notice something here. God is the leader in this passage of Scripture. He not only holds the position leader, that's God, but He holds the qualities of leadership. You've heard me teach on this some. You've heard me talk about there is the position of leadership, but there are the qualities of leadership that are to go along with that position. Leadership is more than just a title. Leadership is what you are. It's what you are. You are to be a leader, not by title, but by temperament. You are to be a leader, not just by being appointed, but by what you are and the qualities that you have developed in your life. Now, if you're a leader, and here's one of the best ways to describe it. We're talking about insecurity among leaders. A boss who is screaming, I'm the boss. He's questioning his own leadership. He is saying, I've got the position. But really, if you've got the qualities, it doesn't matter whether you have the position or not. But when the boss is saying, I'm the boss here, he is reiterating his position. Same for a mom. Moms, when we get to the point where we're telling a seven-year-old, who am I? Who am I? You're saying to your seven-year-old child, who are you? Who am I? I'm your mother. Your child has not forgotten who you are. You are struggling with your leadership at that point. You are calling upon your position because you're little. You feel like someone's not following, someone's not submitting, it's not going the way it's supposed to go, I don't know what to do, maybe I better just stop and say, I am the dad! And that probably makes you feel better for a moment. Pastors. Well, pastor's got to get up and he's got to threaten. I am that pastor! He's probably struggling within. Can I tell you something? If you want to follow me, you follow me. If you don't want to follow me, I'll go somewhere else. I'm threatened by that. And you do follow. I'm not fearful of that. If I do not have the qualities of leadership that are necessary to lead this church to success and to be in the will of God, get rid of me. That's your choice. Listen. Leadership is not just a position. It is a quality. And whatever you do, don't be chasing after the position all the time. If you've got the qualities, you get the position eventually. You will. You say, well, I want the position. Maybe somebody's not noticed the qualities. You say, well, I should have. Oh, well, they'll humble you. Insecure leaders, though, quickly call upon their position for clout when they feel threatened. And the threatening part of it is they're worried, they're insecure with their own leadership. You know, God is confident God, not just because of His position, but because of His leadership qualities. I'm going to make one more point, and I'm not even going to get to the whole outline tonight. Let me tell you what I've said thus far. Number one, insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God and His leadership. And then, insecurity causes us to struggle with trusting human leadership. And then, number three, insecurity causes us to see the negative first, and then we dwell on the negative. Number four, insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout when they feel threatened, instead of feeling secure with their quality. Number five, insecure people don't stay anywhere long. They're not anchored. They're not anchored. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know what the Bible's saying here? The Bible, here in the book of Ephesians, it's being said that a pastor is to teach his people to be stable. They should not be tossed to and fro about doctrine. I am so pleased that Brother Smith, I don't know of one doctrinal conflict I've had with anybody in 6.5 years. I don't know. I think we had one fellow that came in, and for about 3 weeks he wanted to challenge me on something. Nobody in the church knew it, and I told him, this is where we stand. If you don't like it, you'll have to leave. Don't hurt my church. And so he did leave. But you didn't even know him. He wasn't even a member of our church. But in 6.5 years, we've not had a doctrinal conflict because we teach you the doctrine, and you ought to be stable on what the Bible says in the doctrine of the Bible. Now, but where do the problems come from? Insecure people. People not getting along with people. Here the Bible talks about people being tossed to and fro. Here it talks about them being, they're not stable. They're not rooted. Easily enticed away from what that which is sound. Now when you check, and you will see it, folks, you check the record of people that are extremely insecure, they job hop. Now, I'm not saying that if you change jobs recently, let's face it, there's some people that got laid off of the company shut down. Every once in a while there are injustices that come down from the top, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have to go from place to 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 work, you got a problem. I mean, we have people in here that work the same place you quit, and they worked there for 40 years in a row, and they were good Christians. Insecurity makes us want to run. Insecurity says, if I can get out of here, I won't have to face this. Well, you might need to face that. Might be good for you. So why do you say that? I want you to excel. If you're going to work out there in the secular world, you need seniority. You need to grow old and get the benefit package. You need to be able to retire from somewhere. I want that for you. You need to climb up the salary scale. You need to be able to take care of yourself when you reach old age. There are a lot of reasons why you need to excel and get seniority. What? Well, I need the tithe. Hang in there, baby. Don't quit your job. We need the money around here. But I'm just telling you, insecure people have this tendency to want to run. They have this tendency to want to make a change. They want to go from job to job. They want to go from house to house. I'm not against somebody getting a house and maybe moving up and get a starter house. But I'm going to tell you, I've watched some people that go from house to house to house to house. The Bible says in Psalm 1:3, the Bible says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted. Have you ever seen a tree pull up its own roots and move across the street? Trees don't do that. Folks, you will never excel unless you plant yourself. You got to go to work, and you say, but I've got to put up with a bunch of junk. Well, welcome to the club. Somebody else is putting up with the same junk. Pastor said to me about 3 weeks ago, he's taking me to the airport, I preach in his church, and he said, but the ones of you can help me find a church, I feel like I need to get out of here. I said, what's wrong? He said, I got this lady in my church that doesn't like me. I said, only one? Goodness. He said, what do you recommend? I said, just take it. Get over it. Pray her out of her bitterness. Don't run. We don't need men in the ministry going to run from a woman. Thank you, Brother John. He'll stick with me. He didn't even know what West Virginia women are like. Listen, insecure people they have a hard time putting their roots down. They go from job to job and house to house. If you're not careful, from church to church. Now, I think there are times when you need to change houses, and I think there are times when you need to change jobs. I believe that. I think there are times when you need to change churches. Think of a church is not doctrinally right if they give up the standards, if they don't take a stand on those things that they ought to take a stand on. But you shouldn't be changing churches over your insecurities.
Right.
Not at all. They hop from place to place. Even in a church this size, if you're not careful. And I don't want you to try to think of anybody, but if you're not careful in church this size, you can hop from Sunday school class to Sunday school class to Sunday school class. You know, we have our adult Sunday school classes. I think we've got 22 of them, and we make it so that if you have a bit of a problem in a Sunday school class, or for some reason you don't want to go to it, then you could go to another adult Sunday school class. But let me tell you something. After you move from one, and then you move to another, then you move to another, and you move to another, and you just feel like there are no Sunday school classes, no Sunday school teachers around here that are worthy of you, maybe the problem's not the Sunday school classes. Maybe you're the insecure one. And you say, oh, but Owens, I was just getting ready to take Sunday school next week. What's everybody going to think? Don't worry about what everybody thinks. You're too insecure. They change from ministry to ministry. I've seen men in the ministry. Brother Smith, you've seen this. I've seen men in the ministry. One week they're a pastor. 2 years later they're an evangelist. Then they're a missionary. Then they're back to pastoring again. And I'm not against if God has them make a change, but you won't find anybody doing anything truly great with their life long unless they're long-term committed to what they're doing. People that hop from relationship to relationship. Let me warn you. Let me warn you, and I do this very tenderly. If you've been married once or twice or three times, you know this. We love you. You're not treated like a second class citizen. Young people, let me tell you this. I think God's intent was one man with one woman for life. And I don't say that to hurt anybody, but I think our young people need to hear that. And I will not change my course on that. But, had it not been for the grace of God, I'd been married two or three times. Because I am so good looking. What in the world are you guys laughing about? You guys will be job hopping if you're not careful here. But let me tell you something. I have watched many a person... Because of the first failed marriage, the second one failed pretty quick too. And then the third one did too. I could give you a handful of people who have been married four or five, six times. They're just so insecure. They can't get it together. Most insecure people destroy anything that they build because they won't stick with it for long. Many never build anything because they are so fearful of true success or true failure, whichever it is, I don't know. Insecurity. I think the part of it, I like to watch people succeed. I want everybody in this church. Look, you may not do what I do in the service of God, and you're not supposed to, nor am I to do what you do, but I can tell you this. You are to do everything God's given you to do in your life, and I'm to do everything God's given me to do in my life, and they may not be identical, but you better fulfill your potential, and I better fulfill my potential, and God said, if you're unstable, you will never excel. I want you to excel. I want you to achieve. I don't want you to destroy what you build. I want it to succeed. So we've got to make sure we're stable. We've got to make sure that we're secure. And we're not talking about arrogance. And we're not talking about pride. But we are to excel. So let me give you these points and I'm finished for the night. Insecurity causes us to have a hard time trusting God and His leadership. And then you'll find that that same insecurity will cause us to struggle in trusting human leadership. And then thirdly, insecurity causes us to see the negative and dwell on it. And we see that first. Number four, insecure leaders quickly call upon their position for clout when they feel threatened. And number five, insecure people are not anchored. They don't stay like they ought to stay. And so, they do not excel. You need to want to excel in what you do. We're done for this evening. I hope you'll understand. I struggle with insecurity. I struggle with it. And I am constantly trying to work on me, trusting God, trusting leaders, trusting the Bible, making sure that I, you know what? I don't want to be an insecure leader. I don't want to have to call on my position, but I want to examine me and just make sure, am I doing it right as a leader? Am I what I'm supposed to be? Maybe they'd be following better if I was what I was supposed to be. Let's work on our insecurity so that we might excel for the cause of Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.